cup. Boom.
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic. A sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
In the air, everywhere. We are back at Mailbag Podcast. 8 days a week. This would be the eighth day of the week, the Sunday podcast, and I'm not going to spend any time small talking. We need to get right into the questions. I want to get as many of these questions on as possible. I got some nasty messages from people. I spent time posting a question, and you didn't read it because Gascon said to cut the podcast. There it is. West of the 405, la-dee-da. Yeah, very insecure.
Just run nervous. Right into my introduction. That little bow for me, a little genuflect as we are in the
high anxiety
palace of Fox Sports Radio.
Unreliability. The Taj Mahal of podcasting over here as we hang out.
And what's up with Vegas, man? I got some comps. I got some rooms.
You want to go to Vegas? You're jonesing to go to Vegas?
Yeah, I'm jonesing for something, dude. It's been a fucking long ass time.
Yeah. I've not done the Vegas thing. I went right before the world shut down. End of 2019, I went to Vegas.
That's right.
With a Christmas holiday. I had a good time there. Ate that deep dish Chicago pizza there in Vegas.
Where did you stay? Did you stay off the strip?
No, I think I stayed at the MGM.
Oh.
That's where I stayed. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Usually I stay somewhere. Whatever the cheapest hotel I can get, unless I can get a comp, then I'm... Obviously, I'll say anywhere where there's a comp, I'm open to that. But we've got some friends in the Maller militia that are very high up there. I'm not kidding here. One of our key guys like runs the club scene in Vegas.
Oh no shit.
I think I've aged out. But if you want to go, Gascon, I know guys.
No, you haven't aged out.
Get your VIP treatment.
No, because you can go in there now, and people will just know like you're not some old guy that's just trying to wrestle up on some chicks. They'll just look at you and be like, oh, okay, that dude's got money. What's he doing in here? Because you're not an extrovert. So when you're in there, people will just know that you've got a bankroll. That's why you're in there.
Yeah, but one of the more awkward things, we don't have time to get into it now, is I did go many years ago to the pool club.
Where at?
Now, that was wild. I think it was at the MGM, actually.
Okay.
Where everyone's boozing in the pool there, and that was pretty crazy.
Love it.
It was pretty wild. All right, let's get to the mailbag here. Remember, cameo.com, you want a personalized video monologue, we'll do that for you. It's not free, but it's not much. Gascon's on there as well.
Yes.
I just concluded a nice
cameo video for you that you failed to look at after a week until I showed you it. And
well, it's hard to watch something when I don't get it. But I did. And then I want to thank Maller Prop Guy, who put an 18-minute video together.
Yes, 18 fucking minutes.
Yeah, that was outstanding.
Wow.
Man, he didn't get paid for that, but that was great.
Well, you know, wonderful. I'm happy that you acknowledge that, because I don't think I got paid for mine either. I did a great video for you right in the middle of that.
Oh, you're doing cameos for free?
Three or four minutes in length in the middle of that Maller Prop Guy video montage.
So you're fishing for a compliment again?
Well, I thought it was great. I thought it was tremendous. It was a happy birthday to you.
Well, I liked it. Your part I didn't like that much, but the rest of it I thought was good. Yeah. Hmm. All right. Here are the mailbag questions. First one from David in Simpsonville, South Carolina. He says, I'm your hat guy, Ben. Okay. He says, I've listened to you and David for a pretty long time. Your hat size is an 8. David is 7 3/8. Is that correct?
I think so.
He says, I have a nice University of Maryland hat because you like M and B on your hats. And I have a nice Denver Broncos hat for David.
Nice.
He says, I've been looking, but I can't find the truth. Who is older and how old are you? Please say so to get these great hats. He says, also, Ben, I know you don't mean to, but you always refer to your better half as the wife. David says, this is rude to her, and you sound like an old man. If you're for security purposes, if you can't say her name, just say Mr. M and or Mrs. M. I think he said Mr. M and or Mrs. M.
Hmm.
Just a little kind advice from a retired security contractor and consultant. There you go.
Simpsonville, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, I do call the wife the wife, but I could call her the Mrs.
Mrs.
Call her Mrs. Maller, right? I also have Mrs. Maller as my mom, though, you know.
The apple of your eye?
Yes, the jewel of my life.
The love of your life. The cream in your coffee. The straw that stirs the drink.
The thing that keeps my clock moving right there. Yeah. There you go. Well, thank you, David, for the hats there. We appreciate that. And I don't have a University of Maryland hat, but if it's got an M on it, I'll rock the Maryland hat. Go Terps.
Terps, come on. Yeah.
All right, this one is from Ian in New Mexico. He says, hey, Big Ben and Gascon, I was wondering if you would ever do a home and home series with Fox Sports Radio alumnus Steve Zabin, especially with all the Aaron Rodgers drama, and he broadcasts out of Milwaukee on a station there, 97.3 The Game, and does his own podcast, The Zabecast. He says, and as a nostalgic play to the glory days of Fox Sports Radio, to have two titans of those bygone days hook up again. It's from Ian in New Mexico. Well, Zabe is a friend, and we've tried to work out the logistics. Zabe's reached out to me several times to go on his podcast and the Zabecast, and I would love to do it. The problem is our schedules. We have complete opposite schedules. Like, when I could do the podcast, he's doing the radio show and can't record his podcast. When he can record the podcast, I'm sleeping. So we've not been able to line everything up, but Zabe was the morning guy at Fox Sports Radio for a long time out of D.C., and guy's hustling. He's got multiple radio shows and podcasts, and he's working hard. And he says, by the way, Ian's the guy that's spreading the show to the younger generation.
Mm.
I think we told the story. Michael in New Mexico called up. He's the boyfriend of Ian's daughter.
Oh.
And because of Ian, he hooked up this, you know, guy's a college kid in Las Cruces and is a fan of the show. So thank you, Ian. That's exactly what we need. We need more guys like you, Ian. You've gone above and beyond the call of duty. That's good.
You chastised me yesterday about doing something like that, didn't you?
I don't recollect.
Weird.
I don't recollect at all.
Appreciate it, Ian.
Yeah. Thanks, Ian. Neil from Miami. Neil's one of my guys. I love this guy, Neil. He's good. He says, you have the Maller Militia, which I have been a part of since you were doing weekends. I don't recall a full-blown militia at the time, but now, since you introduced me to the 800 credit score west of the 405, Mr. Refined Gentleman Gascon,
807.
I can't help but want to be part of Gascon Gang, he says. I know I'm a pilot, is the captain of the gang.
He is the
but
dude.
I am in the ranks somewhere. So my question is it possible to have dual citizenship with a passport in Maller Militia and Gascon Gang? Do I need to choose? Also, what is the appropriate name for the Gascon Gang? He says, and I do listen to the best of podcast of your weeknight show, but your cast forgets who is the boss of the show of the last few years. Well, maybe Roberto still has love for you, but Eddie and Coop are straight haters, according to Neil in Miami. Guess no one likes the boss. So that was his first question. He has a second question, but yeah, I mean, here's the thing. The Gascon Gang doesn't really exist. It's a figment of some people's imagination. It's like saying that Vatican City is going to take down China in a battle. Right? The Maller Militia is the monster. It's the 800-pound gorilla, and the Gascon Gang's an ant. That's pretty much what that is.
I think we can do it as a little bit of an old-school tale of David versus Goliath. How about that?
It would be like slingshot. That only worked. David only beat Goliath in the Bible, yeah. But the rest of the time, no. In real life, the big guy wins. That's how that works. So there's no Gascon gang at all. Who else do we have here? Oh, there's one more from Neil. He says, second question, is this character Hayes, caller from Minnesota, who makes $6,000 a week, $3,000 a year washing bodies, what is the oddest job of your Maller Militia member? I am a biomedical engineer myself.
Oh, he's a beast.
In the artificial heart space.
Oh, shit.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
So now you got to put Neil with I'm a Pilot. Like, those are two upper-class, white-collared, intelligent, strong-working, brilliant people. I like Neil now.
Oh, that's typical Wes LaFleur. You like him because he said he's a biomedical engineer.
He's an achiever.
Like, well, that's impressive.
He's an achiever. Yeah. I like
that. And he's a fan of the Mahler Militia. It's what he is.
Yeah. He's a winner.
The oddest job of a Mahler Militia member, well, we've had a lot of people that have embalmed bodies, that have worked at cemeteries, the undertakers, very popular, firefighters, police officers, people that make donuts, truck drivers, those are the normal jobs.
CPAs?
I remember one of the oddest jobs we had was a guy that called me up on the Ohio River.
Oh, shit.
And he was on a tugboat. And it just seemed like really cool. He was on a tugboat. And cruising around. We've had people that are on those big tanker ships that go across the Pacific.
Oh, nice. Have you ever had anyone that worked in a lighthouse?
Yeah, we've had, back in the Northeast, there was a caller that claimed he worked at a lighthouse. That's a pretty obscure, obscure gig. Yeah, we've had some,
that's cool,
some weird ones. We've had farmers, pig farmers, a lot of farmers out there that do that kind of thing.
So. Any politicians or government officials?
Yeah, there's actually some that follow me on Twitter that are very liberal politicians, actually, which is pretty funny, but they're fans. They were fans of the show. In fact, there's one guy that's on, I forget his name, actually. I wish I'd have to go through and find it, but he's on CNN a lot, and he was a young politician, and he was a fan of the show, and he's gone on and moved up the ranks in politics, and so there is that. Let's see, who's next? Jose in Massachusetts says, "Hey, Lord Ben, I have a question for you. Kirk Minahan said radio is dead. Do you think he's right or crazy?" He's not crazy, but he's not right. How about that? And Kirk obviously has his reasons. The radio business, he got burned out on it, and it burned out on him, and his style of radio, a lot of the radio stations are like too afraid to deal with that because he's... he's out there on the edge and got huge ratings. Kirk did at WEEI, but his story is a cautionary tale. We had Jerry Callahan on who talked about that and what happened to Kirk and Jerry when they had the number one radio show in Boston and they got canceled and all that stuff. He says, "I used to listen to Giant Road Games on the radio as a kid because they were not on TV, and I used to listen to you on WEI and Kirk and Callahan and Dino. They have a great lineup and fired everyone that was good." Well, I agree with you. The WEI did fire everyone that was good because I'm on that list. He says, "I only listened to your last hour of your show on the Sports Hub. I listened to the rest of the show on the podcast. Can you put your songs on YouTube? Love the show there."
Can't do that.
I don't think we're
allowed. A massive mandate about that.
Yeah, I don't think we're allowed to put content on the YouTube, unfortunately. But you can record it off the podcast, though. The music, the tunes, you can record that off the podcast. And plus, like Raz quit the band and Jay Scoop, like these guys make their songs available. It's not like, and we don't own those songs. It's their material. They allow us to use it, and we thank them for that. But yeah, if you want Jose to find that stuff, you can certainly, it's not that hard to do. Carlos in Bang Bang, Houston, Texas says, "Ben, is that I'm a Pilot guy a real person, or is that a burner account because he knows how to lick Gascon's a-hole? Will you be doing your show how you used to when you would bring in Eddie right after your monologue for reaction?" He says, we changed the format and... the clock changed. That's the main reason we changed that, Carlos. We were, we were supposed to technically break within a certain window. And when Eddie would come on, we would shoot the shit and we'd blow through the clock and then I'd get in trouble. And I'm trying to avoid getting called into the principal's office. So that's the main reason we don't bring Eddie in after the monologue. Plus, Eddie doesn't listen to the monologues anyway. So what was what's the point? It'd be one thing if he was taking notes and say, "Well, you said this and I don't agree with that." But it never really went that way. It was like, oh, okay. He'd hear like the last 5 minutes of it. He says, and I remember you and Danny G had a little beef because he took a picture with that pervert Deshaun Watson. Did you guys settle y'all differences? Well, I think the fact that Deshaun Watson's been proven as a pervert, at least in the court of public opinion, I think that that's a big one. But yeah, I don't have any beef with Danny. You know, I don't really see Danny these days. So, but yeah, Danny was very nice. Called me on my birthday. It was very kind of him to do that. So,
be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Have you ever ordered prime rib well done at a nice restaurant? It's from Glenn in Carmichael.
Do you even like prime rib?
Yeah, it's not my favorite. But when I order meat at a restaurant, I do get it well done. Yeah. And then I get what everyone gets when they order their food well done. I get shamed. I get the waiter, after I place the order, will go back to the kitchen and then come back 5 minutes later. Are you sure you want this steak well done? Yeah. And then, but the chef says it would taste better if you cook it. Yeah, okay. Happens all the time. But not that I eat steaks all the time. Mike in Arizona says, first toilet paper last year, now gas shortages in 2021. Mm-hmm. When will people learn that their own panic buying creates the shortage? Well, Mike, that's human nature, right? That's never gonna change. And it's fueled by social media.
Yeah.
It's... You know, you've got a bunch of people that are seeing this stuff and they're like, holy crap, you know, I can't believe this, that, and the other thing. And it's that fight or flight thing, right? It's like, I gotta get all the toilet paper. I won't be able to wipe my ass, you know, they're all wired the same way. Yeah, you know, people do that. I bet you ran out. You went out and bought gas this week, right, Gascon? You probably did.
No, I did not.
You did not?
I did not. No. Oddly enough, the day that the Colonial Pipeline was shut down, I actually filled my tank up that prior night. So
yeah,
I was good to go. But I do have family in that region of the country, and yeah, they were freaking out a little bit because they got families and work and commitments and things like that. Like they. Yeah. They're blue collar. They actually have to drive to work. They're not at home in their big house and king size bed to do radio shows and shit like that.
It's a sleep number bed.
Yeah. It's disgusting. That's what that is.
Also, I think what's going on here, you have the fight or flight. You have that, Mike. And you also have the reptilian part of the brain, right? The primal part of the brain there that's like, okay, I have to survive for our species and self-preservation. So let me get gas because I need to drive somewhere. Fred in Texas says, why won't you eat Gascon's tomahawk steak? Well, I was actually going to eat the tomahawk steak, but now that you emailed me that question, I'm no longer going to eat the steak.
You're so lame.
Because every time somebody asks me to eat the steak, I then delay eating the steak.
That's already ruined.
Because
I
don't want to be bullied into eating the steak.
You should just throw it out.
I'm not going to throw it out.
You should.
It's fine. It's
ruined.
Wrapped in plastic.
It's burned.
In the it's not burned at all. It's fine.
It's been longer than a year. It's over 13
months. It's aged beef.
You're aged beef. That's a piece of well-cut steak that is now defecated, yeah, thanks to you.
You're aged broccoli is what you are. Ted writes in and says, hey, Ben, I've emailed you before. I love the show. Mostly listen live because I still enjoy live radio, but love the podcast as well. Question. For whenever the next mailbag is, which is today, what if a pitcher has a perfect game through 9? Does he lose a perfect game if he goes into the 10th because of the dumbest fucking rule ever? I know I can look it up, but I'd rather ask you, with all the early no-hitters, you never know. Obviously, no care about hitting for average anymore. I'm only a couple years older than you, but you would think I was 80 years old when it comes to sports. But whatever. Yeah. Well, baseball has all these Fugazi rules, as you know, with the no-hitter, the Madison Bumgarner. Well, it's not a no-hitter because it was only 7 innings, but they're only allowed to play 7 innings, which makes no sense, Ted. And yeah, if you have a perfect game and you go to the 10th inning and then you give up a walk or a hit, you no longer have a perfect game. But if you do finish the perfect game, that counts as a perfect game. But the problem with baseball is the three true outcomes. That's going to lead to more no-hitters. And it's also going to lead to the designated hitter going back to the National League. But the three true outcomes were you're not even trying to just get a base hit. Home run, walk, and strikeout. Back in my day, Gascon, back in my day.
What was the greatest game you ever saw pitched?
Well, I've seen no hitters, so I guess probably one of those.
My favorite, I guess, or best game I've ever witnessed pitched was the 91 World Series, Jack Morrison Game 7.
Oh, yeah, that was a legendary performance.
He was nuts up, man.
I was in an elevator with Jack Morris.
Cool guy?
I didn't recognize it because he had gray hair, and it was at Dodger Stadium during the World Series, and he was broadcasting on radio. But yeah, he was a nice guy. Yeah. And it was funny because he was in the elevator with me, and there was fans in there, and like nobody knew who he was. They didn't know, but they're baseball fans. That's a historic name, Jack Morris.
Yeah, I mean, I was too young
in that era.
I was too young, but I do appreciate it. '88 when Hershiser was just blowing people away.
When he set the record for scoreless innings,
he broke Don Drum. Yeah. And then he was dominant with the bat, too, in the Major League Baseball postseason, too. He was so good. That season, obviously, the Dodgers were just remarkable, winning the whole thing, but he was so locked in. I wish I was a little bit older to enjoy all of it, but yeah, he was.
I wish I was alive. Yeah. Pierre in Springfield, Massachusetts, the home of the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame.
Pierre, a.k.a. Deep Throat.
He says, Ben and Gascan, if you were able to bend Uncle Rob's ear, which if not at all of the Fugazi rule changes recently added to baseball, which would you abolish? Well, that's easy. Ghost runner.
Wow.
Like, abracadabra. That's so stupid. The ghost runner thing in extra innings is so stupid. It's so dumb.
It is.
So contrived, so forced. So wrong.
That's a tough question, though, because the seven inning doubleheaders are a joke, too.
Well, that's like at a travel league baseball is what that is. But the ghost runner thing, I mean, who would be dumb enough, first of all, to recommend that, and then secondly, to actually put it in Major League Baseball?
The same guy that did nothing to the Houston Astros in 2017.
Yeah, there
it's
you
the
go.
Same guy.
Gutless jellyfish.
Yeah.
Spineless jellyfish. Pierre also says, do you think we are headed towards robot umpires and 10-minute instant replays that they still get wrong? Well, I do not believe we're going to get the robot umpires anytime soon because we still need the human element. I want human umpires. I like that we can rant about how bad Angel Hernandez is or Country Joe West. It's not supposed to be perfect, right? It's not supposed to be perfect. And there was a time, I hear, Gascon, where part of pitching and being successful was knowing each umpire's individual strike zone, that every umpire had their own strike zone, that some umpires called the pitch on the outside more, some called the pitch on the inside. Yeah. And you really had to study the umpires. There was an art to it.
Yeah.
So if everything's the same, then is that better?
I mean, gambling lines nowadays, if people notice, is not always predicated on just the starting pitchers or the lineups. It's also predicated on the umpire. Certain umpires have games that go over the total. Some go under a lot. And yeah, you have those strike zones where these umpires are completely liberal and other ones that are completely conservative, and they go knees to letters and that's it. I'm right there with you. I love the art of knowing the entire nuance of the game, especially when you're pitching, because most guys live on the outside corner. They don't go up and in. They don't attack hitters, and you got to worry about an umpire too. So,
The other thing too about the umpires is, as I recall, I read about this on the internet. I was not alive, Gascon, but back in the days where the umpires had different strike zones, I heard that the players didn't mind it as long as that strike zone was consistent. Meaning, if you were a high strike caller, then you call that consistently and you don't change in the middle of the game. And that's perfectly acceptable, perfectly fine etiquette. But if you're all over the place, that becomes a problem.
I think my favorite display of awful umpiring was that game. I forget what game it was. It was with LeVarne Hernandez when he was
Eric Gregg.
Was it Eric Gregg?
NLCS, yes.
Against San Francisco?
Yes.
Oh, he called pitches a mile off the plate.
Was it against the Giants or was it against the Braves? I think it might have been against the Braves. I don't know. It was 1997, though. It was the NL CS. And I know that because I went to World Series that year. The Marlins played the Indians.
Yeah.
And I got to the World Series, and everyone was still talking to me. Can you believe? Because LeVon Hernandez was pitching in one of the games I was at the World Series, and they were like, I wonder if Eric Gregg's going to, influence the home plate umpire. Like, the whole thing. It was wild. Oh, I don't think he was an official. I don't think he was an umpire in that particular World Series, but he had done the
I just love it. The pitches were not only a mile off the plate, but when he rang dudes up, it was emphatic.
Yeah, he was having a bad day. Eric was having a bad day, that is for sure.
So good.
Andy writes in, says, the beautiful harmony of hate serenade delivered to the Astros at Yankee Stadium, along with the European Super League Manchester protest causing a match postponement. Is there any chance that sports returns to a time more akin to the 1970s, with fan behavior turning more real, rebellious, and consequential? He says, I'm old. Andy says, I grew up a huge fan of the Broad Street Bully Flyers teams of the 1970s. A glorious era indeed. Can it ever get back? Can it ever get better again? Or is sports tied to the almighty coin? And if ever, is never going to change back. That's Andy, who's right near the Tommy's over in Hollywood, where I used to hang out in the parking lot at 3 a.m. and eat nacho cheese fries and triple Tommy's cheeseburgers. Boy, did I love those days. Andy, I call him Tommy. I don't see it going back because these things, these sports operations are woke. Society is woke right now. They want to fit in with society. And so every sport, get rid of fighting and hockey, anything that is not with the mainstream, there's no place for it in sports because you're appealing to the broad society of the power brokers, the elites, and this is what the elites want. And so the sports leagues are part of the elites. They're multi-billion dollar businesses, so they're in lockstep with that. So I don't see it
in bed
changing.
Yeah.
Dunk in Illinois writes, and it's the mailbag. He says, Ben, who was the worst person that you ever had to interview, and who have you hated working with the most? Well, I think you know who I've hated working with the most. You hear the podcast every week. Who did I, there was a lot of athletes that were douchebags. Barry Bonds back in the day was really, he was a bowl of fruit. I'm trying to think who else. I mean, there were some guys that were just dicks and didn't want to do it. I mean, pretty much all household names you've heard of over the years that were terrible and just hard-ass guys. But the Bonds was the one that popped up into my head. And there's some other random baseball players that people have forgotten about. John the Jailer says, do the receipt checkers at Costco actually count all the items in the cart, or is it just a scare tactic to prevent shoplifting? Great question, John. I was at Costco the other day, and I did have to do the walk there. You wait in line. They have to look. They scan your receipt there, and then they put that little highlighter on the receipt to prove that they looked at the receipt when you walk out of the store. I do not believe they're actually counting all the items in the cart. I don't believe that at all. I do believe it is more of a theft prevention measure. I was also told by somebody at Costco that they do that to make sure you weren't overcharged, which is bullshit. I think that's bullshit, but I have heard that's one of the theories. Well, we just want to make sure you weren't overcharged for any items. Like, the people at the door know the price of every item at Costco. Yeah, give me a break.
This is not fit for mailbag, but we do have some breaking news that I'll have to share with you now that we can share to the masses next week.
Yeah.
You, myself, and a colleague went Hollywood bound a few days ago.
Uh-huh.
And we get certain things which are called callbacks.
Yeah.
And that basically means you've covered and you basically leaped over the first line of defense. And I got some correspondence, speaking of the mailbag, that we were liked by many.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Is this the thing we can't talk about? That really?
Yes. Oh. It just happened.
Oh, good. Wow.
So here we go.
I could certainly. Okay. I think you're sending cryptic messages in the middle of a mailbag podcast.
Hey, what's
so
fitting?
Now my mind is wandering.
It's fitting. It's an email, right? So,
well, I didn't get the email. How come you got the email?
Well, because I was the only one that's attached to it because it's an agency thing. So,
interesting. Okay. All right.
Look at you. I can tell when certain things percolate in your mind.
Interesting. Okay. I thought it was something else, but I see that. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Is there a check associated with that? Because my time is money.
I know. We'll find out. TBD.
Looks like you're going to have to get pretty creative on that. Yes. Oh my. Joe and Darcy in Florida write in, says, hey, would you ever consider something similar to what Jim Rome did back in the day with your tour stops or with his tour stops? I could totally see it working with simultaneously recording the Fifth Hour podcast. Plus, since you are a citizen of the People's Republic of California, it would probably be good for you to travel to a state like Florida that actually has freedom and a reasonable governor. By the way, Coda the cat, despite Darcy's insistence that he doesn't. There you go. I'm not sure about that last part. But Joe and Darcy, thank you for the message there. Well, we've done some version of the, not tour stop, but I have gone out, pressed the flesh, met the people, much to the dismay of David Gascon. I've had Mallard. We call them Mallard meet and greets, Joe and Darcy. I've done them in Boston. We've done them in Seattle, Pittsburgh, Syracuse, New York. We've done them, a couple of them in Boston, in Southern California. I did one in Bakersfield at the minor league ballpark in Bakersfield. And I have met listeners sporadically, but those are some of the bigger ones we had. And we were going to continue that in 2020 and everything got delayed, but I would like to get out and hit the road again. Absolutely. I'd love to come to Florida and hang out, and I'm all about it. Absolutely. All right. Blind Seahawk fan Emmett in Olympia says, this is for both of you. What was the craziest sporting event you've attended? Well, Emmett, I was at the Fernando Tatis 2 Grand Slams in one inning game.
Chan Ho Park, huh?
Yeah, I was at that game. I was at Game 7 of a World Series 1997 that went to extra innings. That was pretty wild. I've been at NBA Finals. Unfortunately, it was the Lakers. But I've been at those games. Those were pretty crazy. I was at a game. One of the memories I have was a random game that was an Angels-Indians game back when the Indians had these really good teams in that era in the 90s where they got to the World Series and they had Albert Bell and Kenny Lofton and Manny Ramirez and these big stars, Jim Tomei, and some dude at the Big A climbed up the foul pole. And I don't just mean a little bit. I mean almost all the way to the top of the foul pole.
Yeah.
And the game is stopped, and there's 50,000 people at the Big A or whatever at the time, 40,000 people, and they didn't know what the hell to do. Right? Are you going to climb up after him? What are you going to do? Can you play the game with the guy up there? What if the guy falls? 40,000 people are going to watch this guy fall apart and die. It's a weird situation. But eventually they coaxed him down and he slid down the foul pole.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't shoot him down with beanbags either.
Well, back in those days, you probably could. Oh, is that right?
That was pretty wild, yeah. I went to that one. I've gone to a bunch of Kings games. I think the wildest one was probably Game 6 of the Campbell Conference Finals between the Kings and the Toronto Maple Leafs when Gretzky scored a hat trick. He had high-sticked somebody. Carey Fraser was the official. He didn't see it. Like 5 minutes later, Gretzky wins it in overtime. Mm-hmm. And then they go back to Maple Leaf Gardens and beat the Maple Leafs in Game 7. Gretzky had the hat trick in Game 7, but he scored the game winner in Game 6. We were at fucking Game 7 of the World Series when Yu Darvish decided to throw up on himself. We were there.
The Astros were cheating in retrospect.
We were there for that.
By the way, Murray in Saskatoon asked a similar question. He said just about Dodger Stadium. He says he loves Murray in Saskatoon loves Dodger Stadium. He says, what are your best memories there at Dodger Stadium? Well, that was a bad memory, the 2017 World Series. I would say my top memory is when I cranked a ball that should have been a dinger and hit off the wall. I played a media baseball game, shagging balls out in the outfield. And I would also say ball night at Dodger Stadium. Last ball night they ever gave out the baseballs before the game when there was a controversial call, Dodger-Cardinal game. Lasorda's managing, and he comes out, waddles out of the dugout. He starts arguing with the umpire. He then kind of raises his arms into a, you know, he gets the fans going, and it starts raining down baseballs. It was surreal. It was from the top deck. People were chucking those baseballs down the field, and that game ended up being forfeited. And it was wild. It was crazy. Charlie in Memphis says, since you won't answer real questions, I'll do the chicken shit thing everyone else does. What's your favorite color, city, and food? Well, Charlie, I'm going to answer one question from each customer. So for you, Charlie, my favorite color is the color of red, because that's the color of your face, you loser, because you're enraged and you can't deal with the fact that your questions blow. And that's why your questions don't get on the air, Charlie, because we do have an editing process. So do a better job, Charlie, and ask better questions. How about that? All right. Lee in Phoenix writes, and he says,
Answer the question. Did Lee spell his name right?
Yes.
All right.
The avatar from Twitter is great. Oh, when are you going to change the one on Facebook? Also, how about a verbal octagon? How did the verbal octagon start, he says?
Oh, boy.
Was it really Pete versus the world, the first one?
Oh, God.
Lee, I'm trying to remember, what was the first verbal octagon? Pete was involved in it, and you know, Pete was one of the forefathers of the octagon. He was one of the ones that encouraged it. Pete's one of the great callers, Pete in Pittsburgh, in the early days of my run at Fox Sports Radio, and he had a beef. Who was his rival? Was it Motor City Mike? I'm trying to remember. We had a Motor City Mike in Detroit. He was a character. There was this guy in Spokane Gary. And I forget who exactly it was, but they would go back and forth, and we did have the Octagon, Lee. And I don't know that I'll be changing my Facebook avatar anytime soon, because the only reason I changed the Twitter one is because a listener, the E-Rocker, I complimented him on his avatar, which is the same style as mine, and he said, I'll get you one, and he made me an avatar. So I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Cartoon avatar. Jeremy in Vermont says, what was the first documentary you watched that got you interested in them? You know, I don't remember a specific documentary. I know when I was a kid, I used to partake in, you know, in school they show like science documentaries. I remember there was one about a group that would go across the oceans, you know, and they'd spend, you know, weeks out at sea, and the things they saw and what it was like. And it was a really well done documentary, and it's like, that's pretty cool. But I've always been more of a nonfiction than a fiction guy. I've always been like, when I read books and stuff, I'd rather read nonfiction than fiction. So that's part of it as well. Vols fan Jimmy from Fayetteville, Tennessee says, for both of you, have you ever been pulled over and given a sobriety test?
Yeah,
I have too.
Yeah, I got kind of wild. I was super fucking nervous about this one. I got pulled over down near Qualcomm Stadium. I was living in San Diego at the time.
What? Whoa.
And I lived in this apartment complex called Padre Gardens, which was right next to a bar. Well, I went to go pick up some buddies. I was like their designated driver. I did admittedly drink during the day, but this is like into the night. This is like 10 or 11 o'clock at night. So I was
into the night with Tony Bruno.
Yeah, there you go. Uh-huh. But I was sober, and I had worn sandals and just sweats and a t-shirt. So I wasn't going out, but I rolled a red light. So I got to a red light, but I was making a right-hand turn, but you're supposed to stop, obviously, but there's nobody on the street. So I just rolled it. Cops pulled me over, put me in a parking lot, and I wasn't with one cop, Ben. Three other squad cars came, and so there was like eight cops that were there, and I had to do a sobriety test, and I was cold because it was freezing. It was freezing that night, and I was pretty nervous because of all these cops that were on me.
Yeah.
And so I had to go through like a full blown sobriety test, like counting numbers, touching my nose, looking up, walking a straight line. And yeah, the officer's like, okay, you're free to go. I was like, fucking.
Wow.
Fuck you guys.
Did you drop any names or anything like that? Or
I did not, no.
You did not.
I was okay. Fine. Yeah.
I got pulled over actually out in the San Fernando Valley there. I was on a date. And it was a first date, actually. And we were driving back from where we had gone out. And I was on the 101 freeway. Actually, not out near Woodland Hills, out in that area.
Oh.
And a little past where the Fox Sports Radio studios are. I got pulled over and I had to do the walk of shame. And I hadn't been drinking at all. They just said I was driving erratically.
Oh, boy.
And, but it was very awkward because the date stayed in the car, and then I had to obviously get out and do the whole thing. It was weird. But I wasn't drunk, and I was able to walk in a straight line, so that was that was good. What else do we have here? Let's see. Can't read that. Moses from Colorado Springs says, Ben, if you and your crew, also Dave, if you wanted to trade someone out, if you guys were in the movie Best of the Best, could you and your team take out the opposite team? What does that mean, Gascon? Can you translate that? I'm trying to. I think there's a great question there, but I don't really know what the great question is.
If I remember correctly, that movie, The Best of the Best. Have you ever seen that movie?
I don't remember it, so probably not.
Okay. If I remember correctly, The Best of the Best was a martial arts movie, and James Earl Jones was in it. And he was basically their karate teacher or coach. Uh-huh. And there was like four or five guys, and they had a fight against a bunch of Olympians. And the last team was the Koreans. But yeah, the first two got destroyed. And the third and fourth ones came across and survived. It was a really shitty movie, but I watched it. Yeah, that's what it was. The Best of the Best.
I can't.
Yeah, you would never watch this movie.
Yeah, it's not my wheelhouse. Mike from Fort Wayne, last one. Mike from Fort Wayne says, when Trevor Bauer is found guilty of doctoring the baseball to increase his spin rate, are you going to be hard on him like you are about the Astros for cheating? Well, Mike, first of all, Trevor Bauer is not going to be found guilty of anything. Baseball's been taking the balls out of play all season long, examining them and all that. Nothing's going to come out of that for Trevor Bauer. So I don't buy there's anything to that. But even if there is, even if Bauer pretty much laid out what he was doing, he said baseball wasn't checking for it, so he did kind of give the blow-by-blow, tail of the tape on how to do it. But it is not... When you look at like a war tribunal, what the Astros did is capital murder. What Trevor Bauer, what you're accusing him of, Mike, is a misdemeanor in comparison to what the Astros did, right? So high crimes and misdemeanors, the Astros high crime, felony, and Bauer misdemeanor. Does that answer your question, Mike? All right, we got to get out of here, Gascon, right? We got places to go, things to do, people to see, yes?
That's right.
Money to make?
Money to make. We'll see.
Okay. Like big money, big money, big money, big money? Eh?
More than we make on the podcast.
All right. Well, that's not much. $2 would be more than we make on the podcast. have a great rest of your Sunday. We'll be back on Sunday night. I will be 11 p.m. in the West, 2 a.m. in the East on early Monday morning. A new week of episodes of the Ben Maller Radio Show. Tell a friend, and we'll have that for you, and we will do that then. Have a great rest of your day.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.